It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. This Tuesday, May 7th edition. Glad to have you here. Walker Wildman sitting in for Sandy Rios. J. Christian Adams and myself have been rotating on to Sandy's show until she's back. I believe she's back this week. Next week. A week from yesterday, Sandy will be back in the saddle. Next Monday, Sandy will be back. Walker Wildman here, Sandy Rios in the Morning. American Family Radio is the network, AFR.net. Glad to have you with us today. A lot going on in the news. Before we jump into the news of the day, I want to give you our website. That's AFR.net. You can go there and catch Sandy Rios in the Morning podcast at our website, AFR.net. And for some reason, if you go outside of our FM radio range, if you will, then you can still listen to AFR on the app or on the website. Just go to your app store on your smartphone, type in AFR or American Family Radio. Download the app. You can listen live anywhere so long as you have an internet connection. The same way with the website, AFR.net. You can listen live anywhere as long as you have an internet connection. Rob, from what I understand, and I know you help produce and run a couple different shows, but folks love the app, listening to the app.
Oh, yeah, the app's great. The app, it just brings us anywhere they go, they can listen to us. Mm-hmm. It's just a nice addition. You know, we got people listening all around the world.
Yeah,
that's right. We have mail from and emails from people, you know, just on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
I think South Korea, we've got mm-hmm. some folks there.
That's right.
You know, it's just amazing. At the reach that technology's given us. Mm,
amen, amen. So AFR.net or download the American Family Radio app, and we can reach you and you can communicate with us and listen to the great content here on AFR no matter where you are, so long as you have that internet connection. I want to jump into this debate about, really, it's a battle between whether the Attorney General William Barr is going to testify before the House of Representatives. And just to set this up, here's the background of what we have going on. The Attorney General William Barr, you know, we have this whole Russia report, what I'm calling the Russia hoax. It's a waste of time. I'm honestly tired of talking about it. I think you're all tired of hearing about it. But I just want to defend the Trump administration and the Attorney General today, because the media is just hammering the Attorney General for no good reason. To set this up, the Attorney General William Barr, as the Mueller report was being finalized to be released, he offered the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, he voluntarily offered to testify before their respective committees, the House Judiciary Committee and the Senate Judiciary Committee. That's the fact. What happened is the Senate Committee, led by Chairman Senator Lindsey Graham, said, okay, sure, great, come testify, which they did last week. We played clips from the hearing. That status quo went normal. Yeah, the Democrats acted like children, but that's beside the point. The hearing went on, it happened, and that's how it should happen. But here's what happened in the House of Representatives, and you're not going to hear this You might hear it on Fox News if you're watching the right show, but you're not going to hear it anywhere else. And you might read it on onenewsnow.com or maybe a few conservative news outlets. But the mainstream media is not going to tell you this. And that is, there's this whole fight over whether Attorney General Barr is going to come testify before the House, the Democrat majority in the House. Well, the Attorney General has offered, I'm glad to come testify. Anytime you want, you tell me when, I'm there. Well, here's what the Democrats did, led by Chairman Jerry Nadler in the House Judiciary Committee. He said, okay, you're going to come testify. Well, instead of the lawmakers asking you questions, we're going to let our staff attorneys ask you questions. Which in the history of the Judiciary Committee in the House, over 200 years of history, that has never once occurred. Because it is viewed as widely disrespectful to the executive branch to have interns and staff lawyers question a cabinet official and not the actual lawmakers themselves. And might I remind you that the founders of our country, and it's important to actually look back at what our founders said, our founders gave Congress oversight over the executive branch. Our founders did not give staff lawyers oversight over the executive branch. Our founders gave Congress, the elected representatives, oversight over the executive branch. And so Attorney General William Barr constitutionally has no requirement. There is no requirement that he has to go testify. There is no requirement that he has to go testify. So that's where we're at today. So the Democrats pulled this shenanigan, and they did this on purpose, folks. They set the bar so high, or they set these unrealistic expectations to where they can't be met. The expectations cannot be met, and then they scream, oh, there's a cover-up. Oh, there's a cover-up. The obstruction of justice, the colluding with Russia. So that's what's happening here. Jerry Nadler knew that Attorney General Barr would not come answer questions with staff attorneys, and he did that on purpose so that it looks like there's some kind of scandal, some kind of cover-up, and there's absolutely not. Well, what are they doing now? They're trying to hold the Attorney General in contempt of Congress. And I just want to remind us of this also. Eric Holder, the former Attorney General under President Obama, he was held in contempt. And guess what he did? He snubbed the contempt hearing. He just snubbed it. He didn't show up. He didn't care. He didn't bother with it. But here's the difference. Eric Holder was actually blocking pretty much everything when it had to do with the Fast and Furious scandal. What was that? The Fast and Furious scandal. Our oh-so-responsible and efficient government under the Obama administration, completely tongue-in-cheek there, they ran these illegal weapons through the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. They ran these illegal weapons through these gun shops over in, like, the Midwest, towards New Mexico and New Mexico, Arizona, some of those states, those border states. They ran these illegal guns through there, and they apparently were trying to track them and try to get them into the hands. It was a setup. They were trying to get these guns into the hands of cartels so that then they could bust the cartels. Well, what happens? Well, they lose track of them. Imagine that. The government loses track of all these guns. So you have all these guns, dozens, if not over 100 guns, that get into the hands of cartels and gangs, and our government doesn't even know where they are. Well, guess what happened? And this is not funny. One of those guns is used to kill a Border Patrol agent. All right, so that's the scandal. That's the irresponsibility. That's where we need questions answered. And what does the Obama administration do? What does Eric Holder do? He won't even come and testify, and the lawmakers were going to ask the questions. He wouldn't even come and testify. What else? He wouldn't turn over any documents, wouldn't give any explanation as to what happened with that whole situation. So there's the difference here. Attorney General William Barr is being 100% transparent here, willing to talk, willing to show. Remember, we have this unredacted copy in the House of Representatives now on the Capitol Hill. We have this less redacted copy of the Mueller report that's classified or confidential that anybody can go see if you're an elected representative. Well, guess how many Democrats, like zero Democrats, have gone to see the document? Because they don't really care what's in the document because they know there's no there. I want to play clip one here. This guy is loony, to say the least. This is Representative Cohen. I believe he's out of Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee,
Rob. Thanks for that. I got so many politicians' names, I can forget where they're all from.
But
this is Representative Cohen, and he is suggesting we need to put Attorney General Barr in jail. Clip one, let's listen.
So Chairman Nadler has talked about moving to contempt proceedings if the Attorney General doesn't comply. What would that actually look like?
Well, I hope it would be inherent contempt, because in inherent contempt, we'd go out and take him and bring him in and have him personally brought to the House. If it's a civil,
you actually want to send out like
contempt,
the sergeant at arms and force the Attorney General to come?
Yes, because otherwise it's up to the Justice Department. The Justice Department is not going to do anything to take a contempt citation from us and enforce it against their boss. So, you know, you've got an impossible situation there, and it leaves us no other alternative except to use our sergeant at arms and to bring him in. He is being utterly contemptuous of Congress. He has lied to the Congress. Charlie Crist asked him about the attitudes or the feelings of the Mueller people and Mueller, and he claimed he had no idea. He lied. Speaker Pelosi said that yesterday.
So
she's correct.
When you say bring him in, do you actually support the idea of, putting him in? Are you talking about just having him sit for a hearing or locking him up somehow?
You have to have him sit for a hearing, and I think you have to have him locked up unless he agrees to participate and come to the hearing.
All right, so here's the thing. First off, the Attorney General didn't lie. That in and of itself is a bald-faced lie to say that Attorney General William Barr lied to Congress and committed perjury. That is a lie in of itself. Because he did not lie to Congress. He did not lie to Congress regarding the subject that they're talking about there. But here's the thing. I'm actually in favor of using the sergeant at arms to force people to come testify. I've actually lobbied for that. Why? Because the corrupt people don't come testify, and the people that are honest and have integrity, like Attorney General Barr, are willing to bend over backwards to come testify, so long as they testify under normal conditions. But what are the Democrats doing? They're saying, well, we're going to go to lunch, and we're going to leave our interns here to question you, Attorney General Barr. We're going to go on vacation. We're going to go back to the House. We're going to leave our interns here to question you. That's the problem. That's the problem here. So one case where this Democrat, Representative Cohen, was MIA is when Lois Lerner from the IRS, she heads up the scheme to block conservative groups from getting a 501c3 or an IRS status. She blocks conservative groups, and then she comes to the House of Representatives and gives an opening defense of her character and then says, I plead the fifth, which you can't do. That's impossible. Pleading the fifth means you have no opening statement, ma'am. So that happens, and then she just walks out and leaves. She just leaves. You can't do that. You can't do that. Second example, James Comey goes to testify last year after he was fired from the executive branch, so he's not protected by executive privilege. And guess what he does? He doesn't answer half the questions. He just beats around the bush. So those would be great examples of using sergeant at arms to force people to answer questions. But Attorney General Barr ain't gonna happen. Sandy Rios in the morning. We'll be back after the break.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, A lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Jay Clayton, Chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. As the leader of the SEC, Mr. Clayton oversees the enforcement of federal laws related to stocks, options, and securities. Romans 6:15 reminds us of the importance of living under the laws of the land. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to guide Director Clayton as he works to ensure fair trade within America's financial markets. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. How to live to be 100. The answer coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. Maybe a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Lois Wooten grew up during the Roaring Twenties. She learned how to drive behind the wheel of a Model T Ford. She gave up driving when she turned 98, but she still keeps busy on her brand new iPhone. She'd rather text than talk on the phone. Not too bad for a lady who just turned 105. She was honored by lawmakers the other day with a proclamation at the Oklahoma State Capitol. Lois moved to Del City in the 1950s. She managed the cafeteria at the local junior high. Her husband was a firefighter at the Air Force Base. Lois has become something of a local celebrity around Del City. Not every day you meet someone who's been around since 1914. So, how did she do it? What's the secret for a long life? Well, Lois tells television station KOCO it's all about a healthy diet. Not fruits and vegetables, but lots of Kentucky Fried Chicken and Twinkies. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios and the Morning. Walker Wildman here sitting in for Sandy. Glad to have you with us. I'm going to jump right back into and wrap up this entire discussion on the Russia hoax and the waste of time that this has all been. This is I want to play talking about not being able to move on from this. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. I'm tired of hearing about it. It's a big waste of time. And as I've said over and over again, can you imagine any other U.S. attorney or prosecutor who spends 3 years, $30 million, 20 lawyers hired, 500 or thousands of subpoenas, 500 interviews, on and on. I can keep going on. Do all that, and guess what you come up with? Nada. Nada. That would never be allowed. Can you imagine your local district attorney using $30 million of the county's money or the state's money, hiring a dozen lawyers, ruining people's lives, and at the end of 3 years, the district attorney comes out at the local courthouse and says, well, you know what, folks? We gave it our best shot. We gave it our best shot, and guess what we found? Nothing. We found nothing. That would be a huge waste of resources, and that attorney, that prosecutor, should resign. No doubt should resign. Well, guess what we had happen? That's exactly what we had happened with our federal government. That's exactly what we had happen with our federal Justice Department. That standard of being allowed to go on fishing expeditions and come back with no fish, that is not, should not be allowed, because people's lives are ruined in the process unnecessarily. I want to play clip two here. This is Chris Wallace of Fox News, and he just can't move on from the Russia hoax. Let's listen.
Why doesn't the president get tough with Putin about what everyone seems to agree is clear, meddling in 2016 and the threat of meddling in 2020?
Chris, this administration has been tougher on Russia than any of its predecessor administrations. I could go through the list, but there's not time in the show to talk about all the things we've done. Our largest defense buildup, our new, I mean, the list is long, Chris. And so for you to suggest that somehow we haven't taken election interference seriously, we do. We continue to work on it. We continue to make sure that every election is as safe as it can possibly be. The Department of Homeland Security, the intelligence agencies, all working to not only ensure that 2018 was successful, we were, and that 2020 will continue to be successful. We take seriously the threat of election interference from every country, Russia included.
But I guess what I'm asking, and I take your point, because in terms of specific policies, the U.S.
Yeah,
government...
So, Chris, I don't get your point.
Well,
I'm confused.
Well,
I'm confused.
Let me make
it. You're looking at the administration that has been tougher on Russia than any of its predecessors, and yet you continue to be fixated on something that Robert Mueller wrote down.
There you have it. So that's the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, sitting down with Chris Wallace this past Sunday on the Fox News channel. And Chris Wallace just can't seem to break up with the whole Russia romance, the Russia investigation. And this is all a big, fat lie. It's all a big, fat lie. And that is that this whole idea that President Trump is soft on Russia, that he's buddies with Putin, and that, you know, they work hand in hand together, that is so not true, because if you look at the facts, President Trump and the Secretary of State hinted and talked about this. The White House has been tougher on Russia, I would argue, in the past 2 years than the past three presidencies. Russia is trying to gain a foothold in Venezuela. We're seeing that go on. Russia has sent special forces over to Venezuela, trying to keep Maduro, the dictator, in power. What's Trump doing? He's going against Venezuela, against Russia, and we're actually considering sending the military into Venezuela to oust Maduro. So you think we're holding hands with Putin? That's a farce. The second thing is, President Trump reinstated our missile defense system in Europe against Russia. 2 years ago, see, this is the stuff that doesn't get reported, or at least gets looked over. President Trump's Department of Defense reinstated the missile defense system in Europe to fend off Russian aggression. Lastly, the Trump administration has imposed multiple sanctions on Russia, multiple sanctions on the Russian government and Russian-owned companies. So This whole idea, I tell you who was soft on Russia, and that's Barack Obama. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, they were soft on Russia. Hillary Clinton goes over there with that plastic red button and does this reset, this Russian reset with Putin and his cronies. Well, that's soft on Russia. That's soft on Russia. So, and not to mention, Hillary Clinton sold 25% of America's uranium. What's uranium? It's used to make nuclear weapons. She sold 25% of America's uranium to the Russians. And when I say she sold, she signed off on it. Her signature is on the agreement, or on the approval process. So that's that. It's actually the Obama administration who is soft on Russia. On the 2020 election cycle, and before I talk about that, the last thing I want to say about this whole Russia hoax is, what's enough? When is enough enough? How much more money, how much more time do we have to spend before the Democrats stop talking about it And I think they're never going to stop talking about it because they're obsessed. So it's really a rhetorical question there, because they're not going to stop talking about it until Donald Trump is out of the White House. And then after he's out of the White House, they're probably still going to talk about it. They're going to talk about how bad the Trump administration was, how he was Vladimir Putin's buddy, blah, 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 blah. Back to the 2020 election cycle that I wanted to talk about for a few minutes. We have this candidate up in Indiana, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. His name's Pete Buttigieg, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I think everybody struggles with the name. Some just call him Mayor Pete for the sake of simplicity. But Mayor Pete, as I'm going to call him, he is running for president, mayor of South Bend, Indiana, as I mentioned. Well, he just can't help himself. First off, he picks a fight with the vice president, Mike Pence, which Mike Pence, the vice president, didn't say anything about the mayor. Well, Pete Buttigieg just has to pick a fight with Mike Pence over his Christian convictions, his religious beliefs. Well, now he's taking a swipe at President Trump, saying that somehow, or hinting that somehow, Pete Buttigieg and his homosexual so-called marriage is somehow more traditional than Donald Trump's. Clip 3.
I'm not interested in expressing my anger about him as much as I am in defeating and ending his presidency. If we want to have a debate with him, a fight over any number of things, from the difference between the way I approach service and the way he did, the fact that I was packing my bags for Afghanistan while he was working on season 7 of Celebrity Apprentice, we can have that fight if somebody if somebody wants to raise a question of which one of us has a more traditional attitude on marriage. We can have that fight.
Well, I got breaking news, Mayor Pete. Whatever you got going on, it is not anything close to a traditional view or position on marriage. Because we want to talk about marriage, let's talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up. Marriage is between one man and one woman. That's how God ordained and designed marriage. That is marriage. Marriage, and so actually, What Mayor Pete is engaging in with his homosexual activity is actually fake. It's fake. You can't even say it's legitimate marriage because it's not. According to the Bible, it's not a legitimate relationship. It's not a so-called marriage. Marriage can only be defined as one man, one woman within the confines of a committed, loyal, and faithful relationship. So Pete Buttigieg there this is how far our country's come so far that people who are open, proud, and engaging in sin, he's bragging about it. Bragging about it, and somehow is going to twist tradition and morals to make it sound like somehow he's got it right on marriage and Donald Trump has it wrong. And whatever you want to say about Donald Trump and his past sins when it comes to adultery, etc., whatever you want to say about that, I can say this. Donald Trump has a more biblical, moral, and traditional view and marriage now than Pete Buttigieg does. Because for all we know, Donald Trump is married happily, faithfully to Melania Trump. That's what we know in recent years. Now, you can go back 5 years, 10 years, 20 years and say, well, Donald Trump did this, Donald Trump did that, and I think that's fair game. That's fine. I'm not disputing that. But I'm saying as it stands on May 7th, 2019, Donald Trump has a more moral, biblical, and traditional marriage than Pete Buttigieg ever will have. Unless somehow Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, repents of his sins, ends the homosexual relationship that he has with his so-called spouse, our partner, and starts to conform to God's image and God's plan for marriage. That's how Pete Buttigieg can catch up with Donald Trump when it comes to the morality, the biblical view of marriage. And I think this guy's actually pretty toxic and dangerous. Here's why. Donald Trump, I'm not sure President Trump has it in him, so to speak, to fend off a homosexual activist as candidate. Because Donald Trump, or at least some of those around him, have kind of been soft on this issue. thinking about Jared and Ivanka. Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, or really Ivanka Kushner, but for the sake of name ID, Ivanka Trump, and some others in the White House have been relatively soft on the whole LGBT, as they call it. So what would Donald Trump do if he was running in 2020 after the primaries against Mayor Pete Buttigieg? And then Mayor Pete is taunting Donald Trump about his immorality. That would be an interesting showdown. And I think that's something the White House needs to consider and to start crafting talking points and a defense of the president on that, because it very well could happen. But at the end of the day, I don't think America, I know I'm never going to be ready for a homosexual president, but I think as far as the secular part of our country, I don't even think they're ready for it. Because you look at how this went over before the 2015 Supreme Court ruling, over 35 states, even California, said in their constitution that marriage is between one man and one woman. So the people's feelings or thoughts on that, on marriage, I think is still mostly with the biblical view of marriage. Now, it might be a close one, 50-50, 60-40, but I still think the majority of voters still tend to fall on the side of one man, one woman marriage. But it really doesn't matter whether the culture falls on this. The reality is that God set up marriage as between one man and one woman. That's how it is. That's how it always will be when it comes to what the truth is. Culture can twist and bend and move and sway all these different directions, but the reality is that no man can change the definition of marriage, and marriage is 100% God's design. Man cannot hijack marriage and make it into his own man-made creation. It's just like our friend Frank Turek, who you can hear on the weekend here on American Family Radio. He wrote the book Stealing from God, and that's what the left does. They steal ideas from God. They stole the rainbow. The homosexual sexual deviancy activists, they couldn't come up with their own logo, so what do? They steal the rainbow. That's what they do. They steal one of God's creations, the rainbow, and use it for their deviancy agenda. So that's what's going on when it comes to the 2020 election cycle. I want to bring up a few other stories before we end this segment. And next segment, we're going to talk to Barbie and Terry Franklin, singers, songwriters from Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to talk about their latest project, Love Sings, the Artistry of Marriage, with Barbie and Terry Franklin. So we're going to talk about that. Speaking of marriage, we're going to talk about biblical marriage after the break. Former Vice President Joe Biden's son has some pretty concerning relations with the Chinese government. Just a quote from this news story. This is from Breitbart.com. Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, is part of an investment company called Boha Harvest, and they invest in various things across the world. One of the things they're invested in, and by the way, that investment group, Boha Harvest, is a subsidiary of the Chinese government-owned Bank of China. And they have invested in this technology that is used to, in my opinion, illegally monitor Muslims in China. They're monitoring Muslims simply because they're Muslims without probable cause in China. Well, guess who helped fund that? Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden, along with many other connections to the Chinese government. My question is, how can Joe Biden be nonpartisan or tough on China and their abuse if his son is making billions, and yes, I said billions with a B, from the Chinese government? That's a good question, needs to be answered. Sandy Rios in the morning. We'll be back with guests after the break.
For nothing is hidden that will not come to light. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The New York Times grudgingly admitted the FBI did, in fact, spy on the Trump campaign. They reported a woman had set up the meeting in September 2016 with George Papadopoulos under the false pretense of discussing foreign policy issues. But she was actually a government investigator posing as a research assistant. The FBI sent her as part of the counterintelligence inquiry. The Times added this is one previously unreported detail of the operation. What do you call a government investigator posing as a research assistant? A spy. That's a spy. But the Times doesn't really want to admit it.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
J. Warner Wallace.
I think we're blessed as Christians that we don't believe something that's not rooted in history. We believe something that had to actually occur. As Paul said, if the resurrection didn't actually occur in history, we're to be pitied. And that's the beautiful thing about Christianity, is it's something you can actually investigate. I'm grateful for that, because as an investigator, that's exactly how I came to faith.
The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is coming June 20th through 22nd. Learn more and register at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. David French is an evangelical writer for National Review and has been a never-Trumper from Jump Street. His hatred for Donald Trump has prompted him to accuse Franklin Graham of hypocrisy for supporting Trump and caused French himself to be blinded to his own hypocrisy. While Reverend Graham is speaking truth to power by calling on presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg to repent of his homosexual lifestyle, David French is obsessed with sexual sins the president committed 12 years ago. Meanwhile, French has said nary a word about Buttigieg's own deviation from God's standards. So French is pummeling the repentant sinner while giving the unrepentant sinner a total pass. This is hardly an evangelical response. Mr. French needs to tell us when the statute of limitations runs out for the bashing of repentant sinners.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. An American carrier battle group is headed toward the Persian Gulf in response to as yet undisclosed indications and warnings of threatening Iranian behavior. Presumably the targets are U.S. personnel or allies in the region or the strategic Strait of Hormuz. A similar but even more urgent response is needed to protect another, far more vulnerable target, namely our nation's electric grid. In an executive order signed in March, President Trump recognized the acute vulnerability of this most critical of our critical infrastructures, especially to a phenomenon known as electromagnetic pulse. Like all of this country's other enemies, the Iranians understand that they could use EMP, sabotage, or cyber attacks to destroy the United States. We must act with at least as much urgency to address this peril as the one perceived to be emerging in the Persian Gulf. This is Frank Affney. Learn more at securethegrid.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. And, you know, we talk about all this news, all the headlines, and we go through the commentary and my view on it. But one place to go which has great news and information is our own news website, onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. So if you're tired of the mainstream media bias against Christians, go to onenewsnow.com. We'll give the news a fair run for its money at onenewsnow.com. I want to welcome to the studio good friends of the ministry, Barbie and Terry Franklin. Barbie and Terry, welcome to the studio.
Good to see you.
We're excited.
Good to see you.
So you have this new project out, which we're going to talk about, which is excellent, and I actually came across the street to the studios when y'all were recording it, and it's going to be fabulous. I haven't listened to the entire thing yet, I admit. But tell our listeners a little bit about, Terry, maybe you just start us off, and then Barbie can jump in. Tell us a little bit about your ministry, kind of how it started, and where you're at now.
Barbie and I started out 34 years ago as singer-songwriters out of Bible College in Chicago, and we started just doing concerts. And
we were only married 2 years and went full-time into music.
So that was your full-time job, if you will.
Yep.
Over the years, it's morphed into leading worship for conferences and for churches and that kind of a thing.
So would you travel in your early days, would you just travel to churches who would call you? And
Basically. Okay. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Everywhere and then
minister
other countries.
To families.
About 40 countries around the world and just... just a lot of different things, and it kind of morphed over time into doing marriage ministry.
Wow.
About 20 years ago, we started doing marriage seminars,
and
it's culminated in this recent thing with partnering with AF.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because, you know, that seems to be, and I've talked about this before, one of the issues that is not talked about enough, in my opinion, and maybe in the church it's talked about enough, but at least in the public, and that is the breakdown of marriage.
Yeah,
the breakdown of marriage in our society and how that really leads to all of our other problems.
Right.
What have you experienced? And, you know, we have these studies that say, well, money's the number one problem, and then, you know, they have the list going down from that. But at the end of the day, what are you seeing in these marriages, maybe marriages that have recovered? What are you seeing as the common trend here?
Well, we find that, you know, all across the board, all around the world, when we've been doing worship and prayer events, but particularly marriage events, we're seeing that the problems all stem from the same place. And it's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And our own flesh can get in the way, but we also have an enemy that desires to divide us.
Yes.
The name devil means to divide without cause. Mm. But comes down to very practical things, and a lot of the resolve can happen when we begin to seek the Lord and we put God at the head of our marriage, and we begin to learn how to go to Him. We talk about things in this marriage seminar really pertaining to music and applying it to the Word, bringing out the things like the lyrics of love is the Word of God. God
Amen.
Gives us His His foundation in His Word, and it's because He loves us.
And we've used basically musical terms kind of as a jumping off place for teaching on marriage teaching, because really, you know, you talk about harmony.
Yeah.
Harmony is a musical term, but it's also, you know, what about harmony in a relationship?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what about blending together to get, you know, in a musical group, if you're a singing group, you want to blend. You want to have that one sound. You want to sound all how many ever voices. You want it to sound as though there's just one voice that's there.
Sometimes
how do you do that?
You're supporting the melody, you know, and sometimes you have to take the back seat.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're leading, you know, and... how do you do that?
How do you do that?
And it's interesting because I'm not a new dad. I'm a dad. I have a 2-year-old and a set of twins who are about 2 months old. And one thing my wife and I have learned is that we're on the same team when it comes to disciplining, and we're not disciplining our newborns. But our 2-year-old is getting to where he needs discipline pretty constant.
Two-year-olds tend to need that.
We redirect him every 5 minutes. So
there you go.
Anyways, but we have to remember, to your point about the harmony and working together,
right,
that we're on the same team. We have Barbie and Terry Franklin in studio with us, singer-songwriters, and they headed up what would you call this? It's Love Sings, but what would you call it?
Well, basically, it's a six-part DVD, basically.
Curriculum.
A church could take it over
Video.
6 weeks.
Okay.
And I have to say, Austin Brooks and his team at American Family Studios did an absolutely tremendous job producing this. It comes along with discussion questions so that, like, a church could use it for, like, small groups,
okay,
kind of a thing, to where, and it's again, targeted to marriages.
But actually, a couple could purchase it.
They
know,
could.
You've got a really good price on it, $24.99, and... at AF AFAstore.net. Yeah.
You got it.
Well, so I just think, you know, a couple could purchase it and have all of their couple friends over.
Yes.
And that's a wonderful way to establish joy in your marriage is to have friends that love Jesus. And actually, there's brain science behind that. We actually go into some brain science because the Lord has kind of led us to understand things a lot better. And I think that if you get couples together and you're fellowshipping and eating, and then you sit down and enjoy and then have some discussion afterwards.
It's what Jesus did.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
over
a good opportunity.
And a concern that I have, you know, you mentioned the breakdown of marriage and that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Our concern is not only the breakdown of marriage, but that Christian marriages aren't as good as they could be.
True.
You've got husband and wife, they're just kind of hanging on to each other.
Yeah.
You know, they got kids. Well, we got to kind of stay together because we got kids. Hmm. You know, well, no. God has something, a higher thing.
He wants us to thrive.
Yes. And you mentioned the team. That's the way that we end up the seminar. We're talking about when the whole song comes together, which is basically talking about a team ministry, working as a team together.
Well, the thing is, you may not do like Terry and I. We sing on the platform together and we travel down the road together. You may not actually be together physically, but God has a calling on every marriage and every family.
Everyone.
And it's not just to make your marriage happy and your marriage work. It's to be blessed as God wants you to be, thriving, not just maintaining, but thriving in your marriage. Mm. And then be able to spill out as a fountain to others and be that, follow that calling, follow that mission or ministry. You know, if it's you and your spouse going to the rescue mission every Saturday and reaching out to those underprivileged, or your wife is working hard in a pregnancy center and
coaching Little League baseball.
Isn't making a living.
There's a lot of things.
But
the
husband is actually taking double time work so that she can do that ministry. Mm. You know, so there's different ways you can minister together.
And, you know, one thing I've noticed is that healthy marriages are toxic in a good way. They're contagious, rather.
Because
when you see a couple honoring God with their marriage, and none of us are perfect. We all go through, admit this, we all go through struggles. And I'm sure y'all have had times
sometimes on the way to the marriage
seminar. I bet you're on the way and y'all are arguing and you're going, we're about to go teach on marriage and we're arguing here.
Yeah.
You know, we all
right.
have that. And I know pastors struggle with the same thing. We all have our own struggles.
Yeah.
But the reality is we have to stick, despite our own trials and struggles, we have to stick with what God says is right and true and good.
That's right.
So
this
6-part series is titled Love Sings, The Artistry of Marriage, with Barbie and Terry Franklin. Barbie and Terry, thank y'all for coming in. You're going to be on AFR the rest of the day,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are.
Excellent.
Yep.
We're
yep.
excited.
All right, God bless y'all.
Thank
Keep up the good work.
Okay.
Thanks.
AFAstore.net is the website, AFAstore.net. You can purchase this 6-part series, AFAstore.net, for $24.99. As Barbie mentioned, that's a very good deal for a 6-part series or session. And, you know, they go through different subjects like tuning up your marriage, the lyrics of love, dynamics of the heart, relaxing to the rhythm. So all these different topics, and I would even go as far to say that this is not just for married couples. Maybe if you want to get married, but if maybe you're a college student and a couple students in your Bible study want to go through this, it would still help prepare you for marriage for when that day comes. So very good topic, Rob.
This August, my wife and I have been married 43 years. And let me tell you, the struggles are immense sometimes, and sometimes it's you're in a glorious relationship. But it's getting through those valleys and getting to those mountain tops, you know.
Yeah,
it's something you've got to work on. It just doesn't happen without work.
Amen.
And you know, it's just like a football team. If half the team is goofing off and the other's trying, it doesn't work out too well.
Yeah, and you know, one trend, Rob, that I've noticed over the past few years, and this trend probably started before my time, but that is, you know, a lot of people either opting not to get married or get married and not have kids, or maybe just have one kid. And, you know, some couples have trouble having kids, so there's that, and that's out of their control. But for those who are healthy and able to have kids and don't, or just have one or two, let me be careful, because I'm not saying you have to have X amount of kids to be following God's will. What I'm getting at here is a larger problem. And the problem here that I've noticed is I'll run into older people, older couples, maybe in their 60s, 70s, about to retire or just retired. And I'll ask them, you know, do y'all have any family around here? And they'll say, no, we don't have any family, no kids. Or we have one kid and he's 1,000 miles away or in another country. And, you know, I understand those who can't help it. But for those who can help it, who are able to have kids, it's really sad to see, Rob, that a lot of these folks who are elderly don't have anybody to care for them, or to love on them, or to keep them company.
It's, you know, it's everybody needs to decide on themselves. We have two kids, and they're 12 years apart. And, you know, it was to the point, well, we're going to have one kid, and that's the way it's going to be. And then, surprise!
It happens.
But I've got an older son and a younger daughter, so it works out great. But family.
Amen.
Man,
that's
family. That's what it's all about. We're all broken, and we have problems. But when you got family, you got somebody to hang on to.
That's right. Amen. And you know, we need to encourage more of that because it really breaks my heart when, and as I've mentioned, some of this stuff is out of people's control. We can't control everything, but it really breaks my heart when I see older couples who should be having kids and grandkids to keep them company and to make them laugh, and they don't have any family or friends to bring them joy. And so that's just an encouragement, folks, to take God's plan for marriage to be fruitful and multiply. Take that literally and seriously for the sake of future generations. And one thing I wanted to touch on before we I'm not even going to delve into this because it's going to take too long. But the documentary or the project that we just talked about with Barbie and Terry Franklin it's titled "Love Sings: The Artistry of Marriage," and you can get this 6-week video curriculum. It also comes with a discussion guide. You can get that at afastore.net. afastore.net at $24.99. That, I believe, that may include shipping. I'll have to double check on that. I don't want to overpromise here and false advertise, but $24.99 is the base price for this 6-week video curriculum, Love Sings. And don't we all know that we need a marriages strengthened, and we need families brought together through God's Word. That's what this project does. Love Sings, afastore.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning, glad to be with you this Tuesday. A lot going on, but let's remember, folks, put your family first. Well, put God first. Put your family also right behind God, and stay focused on what's important. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.